NTSB says two Learjet pilots tried to abort a takeoff when a tire blew. A regional jet misses a 172 by 10 feet. And ILFC borrows $6.5 billion. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 23rd, 2008. The crew piloting a Learjet that crashed at Columbia, South Carolina Friday night was attempting to abort the takeoff due to a suspected blown tire. As we reported, two popular musicians suffered second and third degree burns but were thrown clear of the plane. They're expected to fully recover. Both pilots and two other passengers died. National Transportation Safety Board member Debbie Hersman told the Associated Press, a cockpit voice recording indicates, quote, the crew reacted to a sound that was consistent with a tire blowout, unquote. She added that pieces of tire were recovered at about 2,800 feet from where the plane started its takeoff run on the 8,600-foot runway. Hersman said an investigation is underway. It's been determined the plane was traveling at or above its minimum takeoff speed when the crew thought the tire burst. We may have to wait a year or more for the NTSB's final report to gain any insight into why the pilots may have decided aborting the takeoff was preferable to rotating and getting airborne. NTSB is also looking into a runway incursion Friday evening in Allentown, Pennsylvania, involving a Cessna 172 and a regional jet bound for Chicago. At 7:45 p.m., the 172 was on a landing roll on runway 6 at Lehigh Valley International when the pilot was instructed to exit the runway at taxiway A4. Mesa Airlines Flight 7138, a CRJ-700, which had already been instructed to position and hold, was then given clearance by the same controller to take off. During the takeoff roll, the Mesa crew heard the Cessna pilot say that he had missed the taxiway A4 turnoff, and he asked to exit at taxiway Bravo. The Mesa crew saw the Cessna ahead on the runway and aborted the takeoff at about 120 knots, swerving around the smaller plane. The Mesa pilots estimated they missed by about 10 feet. Conditions were night VFR. There were no injuries reported. Yeah, 10 feet. This story brought to you by Spray and Wash. International Lease Finance Corporation is borrowing a total of $6.5 billion against its three credit lines to help keep the company solvent into the first quarter of 2009. The funds were requested on September 16th, the same day parent company American International Group got an $85 billion loan from the U.S. government. Bloomberg reports the loan has boosted confidence in ILFC. Airbus Chief Operating Officer and Sales Chief John Leahy said that he's confident ILFC, Airbus's biggest customer, will take delivery of the aircraft it's ordered. Boeing spokesman John Dern commented, quote, we haven't seen anything that fundamentally changes expectations for financing and delivering our backlog with our leasing customers, unquote. Many industry observers expect ILFC founder and CEO Stephen Udvar-Hazy to attempt to buy back the company from AIG as the insurance giant liquidates assets to cover its big new debt to the government. Analyst Alan Karauglan recently suggested the sale might bring $7 to $14 billion. Credit analyst David Havens says ILFC's exercising of its credit lines starts a clock ticking. Quote, this ups the volume on the need for ILFC to be sold to a well-financed buyer. ILFC needs liquidity to survive, and this is its final source of liquidity, unquote. Repayment of the first of the three credit lines is due by October of 2009. Two occupants of a Robinson R-44 helicopter died Sunday morning when the copter crashed into a home a mile south of Kenosha Regional Airport in Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the accident happened about 5:30 a.m. Five people inside the home were not injured and were able to escape before flames from the wreckage spread. Photos from the scene show a large hole through the home's roof and parts of the helicopter on the ground. A neighbor reported a sputtering engine before the sound of the impact, but weather may also have been a factor. Visibility was reported a half mile to a mile in fog. The identities of the two victims were not released. The two-year-old R-44 was registered to Midwestern Air Services, which provides charter services and flight training at Kenosha Regional. Up next on ANN, Boeing faces another strike starting in December. Striking Boeing machinists could be eligible for unemployment benefits. And two towns put their differences aside and break ground on an airport upgrade. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice.
We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. Production at Boeing is already shut down by a strike called by the International Association of Machinists. Now, the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace is threatening a strike as well, when its current contract ends December 1st. After meeting with Boeing's negotiating team last week, the union's executive director, Ray Goforth, said things are looking worse. Quote, "These negotiations will end up in the same train wreck as they did with the machinists if they don't change how they're approaching us," unquote. Analysts are already predicting still more delays in the development of the 787 Dreamliner. Continental Airlines is scheduled to receive its first 787 in the spring of 2010, but says it's been advised by Boeing to expect an 18-month delay. Bloomberg reports a main point of disagreement is Boeing's outsourcing work to control costs. Goforth says of the negotiations, quote, "They were completely unsympathetic to our concerns," unquote. Boeing considers the topic a non-starter. Boeing spokeswoman Karen Fincutter said, quote, "We won't give up the flexibility we have, but we're willing to talk about other ways to increase productivity or other initiatives like that," unquote. She remains optimistic, however. Quote, "We're hopeful we can have effective negotiations with the union and come to terms that both reward our employees for success and enable Boeing to compete in the future," unquote. Meanwhile, over at the Machinists Union, the Everett Herald reports the IAM has filed an unfair labor practice complaint with the National Labor Relations Board against Boeing. The union charges the company with improperly questioning union members about aspects of the contract and providing misleading information. The outcome could be significant. If the complaint is upheld, the union says unemployment benefits could be awarded to striking workers. In order to get those benefits, strikers would need to apply immediately, be denied, then file an appeal. The union admits there's a slim chance. The state of Washington says there's less chance than that. Jennifer Pepin of the Employment Security Department told the paper, quote, "The law in our state specifically disqualifies you for unemployment benefits if you are on strike," unquote. Even if the complaint is unsuccessful, the union's strike pay of $150 a week kicks in this Saturday if the strike continues. It's not much compared to a union machinist's normal pay, but neither are unemployment benefits. The communities of Stratford and Bridgeport, Connecticut, are so confident in the future of the airport they share, they broke ground last week on a major upgrade. Sikorsky Memorial Airport will be getting a new terminal, office buildings, and hangars after decades of inattention. The Connecticut Post reports the old terminal and a few other buildings will be demolished to make way for a new three-story terminal and office building. Also planned are two new hangars and another new office building, totaling 135,000 square feet. The first new building will house the airport's management and should be ready in 6 months. The rest of the project is scheduled to be complete in 22 months. Besides the normal NIMBY concerns, developer Volo Aviation LLC had to resolve tax-related disputes between Bridgeport, which technically owns the airport, and Stratford, in whose boundaries it lies. Volo has agreed to pay rent to Bridgeport and about $200,000 annually to Stratford in lieu of taxes. Volo President Tom Harrow says it's important for the upgrade to go forward despite the current economic uncertainty. Civil Air Patrol pilots flew National Weather Service meteorologists up and down the East Texas coast on Friday in a Gippsland GA-8 air van, helping them gather photos for use in a report on Hurricane Ike. Meteorologist Patrick Blood took about 800 photos that will help the Weather Service determine Ike's wind speed, the amount of surge that overran Galveston Island, and the distance storm debris traveled inland. During NOAA's assessment mission, Other CAP volunteers were serving Houston residents on the ground at Manville High School, passing out bags of ice, bottled water, and meals to residents driving through the school's parking lot. Others provided first aid to residents. Manville Mayor Dolores Martin praised the cadets. Quote, "These young people have been tremendous. They didn't ask for anything but give me a job. They did everything. They picked up, they carried, they offered help to people," unquote. Louisiana Wing is flying similar missions for the state of Louisiana. Still ahead, air taxi companies jump to scavenge DayJet's customer base. Augusta Westland flies the first operational pilot production VH-71. And thieves flee after crashing a stolen aircraft in Texas. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 23rd. I'm Paul Plagg. The member companies of the Air Taxi Association want former DayJet customers to know they're ready to help. In an announcement drafted to sound as unbuzzard-like as possible under the circumstances, the association notes that SATSAIR, Imaginair, and North American Jet provide on-demand air transportation to all 60 of the communities affected by the DayJet shutdown. The carriers operate a combined fleet of over 30 Cirrus SR-22 and Eclipse 500 aircraft and work alongside a number of additional Air Taxi Association companies across the United States. Association President Joe Leader expressed appreciation for DayJet's pioneering efforts. Quote, "DayJet shined a bright light upon the emerging next-generation air taxi industry, and it is our duty to help affected passengers and communities. Immediately after DayJet's air operations stopped, our air taxi carriers in the region stepped forward to help," unquote. Air Taxi Association's website is www.atxa.com. It includes links to member companies. Just click on the logo of your choice at the bottom of the page. Augusta Westland North America says its VH-71 presidential helicopter program achieved another major milestone yesterday when the first operational pilot production helicopter completed its maiden flight at the company's facility in Yeovil, England. CEO Stephen Moss says the aircraft performed exceptionally. Quote, "It is a great honor to design and build the next presidential helicopter, and I look forward to adding it to the U.S. Department of Defense inventory," unquote. The VH-71 project has been controversial. Industry observers have wondered aloud whether the underlying civilian AW-101 would ever fly after being bloated with all the extra hardware needed for use as Marine One. The finished chopper has to carry armor, a bunch of people, and enough technology to duplicate a White House war room. Lockheed Martin is the prime contractor and systems integrator for the VH-71 program. The company says more than 200 suppliers in 41 states will get work on the project. Police in Killeen, Texas are offering a Crime Stoppers reward for information on two unidentified white males who apparently stole a Quicksilver MX2 yesterday morning, then crashed it into some mailboxes in the 1200 block of Charisse Drive. Witnesses told officers they saw two men running from the scene. A few mailboxes were damaged and the plane will need several thousand dollars in repairs. Aircraft owner Dave Wesley says the plane was a hobby pursuit that he was enjoying after retiring from the military, and that no one had been given permission to use it. Quote, "Now they took my hobby away," unquote. The Associated Press reports the hangars at Skylark sit behind a controlled gate and barbed wire fence. Police suspect someone familiar with the airport is responsible. It's not clear from early reports whether the aircraft was registered. AP reported the craft was an ultralight, but an MX-2 exceeds the limits of Part 103 in weight, seats, and fuel capacity. And finally, the French have a rich aviation heritage. The first recorded manned flight was made in France in 1783 in a hot air balloon built by the Montgolfier brothers. Much of our aviation lexicon is French, including empennage and aileron. Have you ever wondered why the METAR abbreviates MIST as BR? My ground instructor didn't know. I decided it must be an abbreviation borrowed from the real estate industry, where BR is shorthand for the room where mist most often forms. But no, it turns out it's short for brouillard, the French word for mist. And if you set a coast-to-coast aviation speed record in the U.S., you have to pay some guys from France a whole bunch of money to certify it. Well, the tradition continues. Stéphane Rousson, a 39-year-old French extreme sports enthusiast, is waiting for just the right conditions to make his second attempt to cross the English Channel in a pedal-powered airship named Zeppi. Rousson will push the pedals, two 10-foot propellers will turn, and he hopes to fly over the channel at 100 feet, hopefully backed by a west wind of about 5 miles per hour. So where did this Frenchman get the idea for the 52-foot mini blimp? Rousson says his inspiration was the scene in the Steven Spielberg movie E.T. that shows a kid on a bicycle, quote, flying over the moon, unquote. That's right, an American kid. So there. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is George Bible, author of Beyond the Black Box. George will share some amazing tales of humans who survived high G-forces and what we've learned from them. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.